if you are someone that has in one way, shape, form or another, let me say it again. If you are someone who in one way, shape, form or another has had to overcome difficulties, disbelief and all those sorts of things, this is the episode for you. Welcome back to another episode of the Reasons for Hope podcast with Tolu Talks
and Arnold Reasons.
And Tolu has no idea why I started off with that sort of an introduction, but we have a slightly different twist today, T.
Okay, let's go.
I have a message from one of our listeners.
Is it?
And it's going to be an opportunity for us to talk about something. They shall not be named, but their situation shall be named.
Okay.
So I'm going to read through the message, right?
This is awesome, by the way. It says, great idea.
And by the way, to the listeners, if you ever want to reach out with something you want us to talk about, a situation or anything that you'd like us to discuss, hit us up on Instagram. Hit us in the DMs. That's a good place to get us. But the message says, hi RTB / Arnold and Tolu. I wondered if you can help me with something regarding a skill / trait I'm still really struggling with. It's how to be more resilient and to believe in myself and also in my business more. I have experienced family members tell me I'm not good enough for my goals, coupled with my own disappointments in life. I feel stuck. Your podcast has been so helpful in me getting a better mindset towards business, but I'm struggling to put myself out there after the trolls have troubled me. It seems to cripple me, and I seem to care way too much what they say about me. I know I shouldn't, but do you have any practical tips or advice other than just praying about it and just caring about what God says? I'm trying to do it. Maybe I need to do it better, but how do you actually move forward so that you don't have imposter syndrome take over? Thank you. By the way, love the podcast. Hope my question gets picked. So, Brother T, what are your thoughts on that so far?
Firstly, I love that we're doing this. I don't think we've done something like this before, but this is great. I love this idea.
We haven't, but I feel like this is the start of something that is going to come.
I'm so down for this. I think, firstly, thank you so much for sending that through. I think that, to my mind, there are a few ways that you can deal with it, and it depends on the type of person that you are.
Yeah.
So, if you're a person like me, who is quite competitive, quite enjoys proving people wrong, what you can do is, I used to have a whiteboard in my bedroom, and what I did with my whiteboard was I printed out pictures of my friends, and that's who I'd pray for. I'd write things down, you know, let's say I hear something in a sermon that I know I need to remember. I would write it on that whiteboard, and I'd look at that every day. If you're someone like me, what you can do is you can write down all the things that those people said, maybe a little initial for who said it. And anytime you feel like I can't bother to do this thing, you look at that whiteboard and you look at what that person said, and you let it fuel you to say, huh,
yeah.
Okay, AK said that I can't do this, I'm going to go do it. That's one way you can do it. Another way you can do it is, if you are less driven by competition, which lots of people are, you can actually write down what those people said, find scriptures or what it is that God has told you about your situation, your business, whatever it is. Because as Christians, often, like, you don't just start these things just because you want to. It often comes from like a prompting or something like that. So I would say, write down what people have said. Write down two things from the word or from God that go against what that person has said, so that whenever you look at that sheet of paper, yes, you know what that person has said, but you also know what God has said. Because at the end of the day, that person could be really, really wrong. They might not see what you see. They might not know what God has told you. They might not even know the potential that you have within you to do these things. So for me, it's about, how do you take what someone has meant for evil, you know, or what someone who doesn't really know has meant for evil or is meant to be evil, and turn that into something good? Because at the end of the day, what they say doesn't actually matter. It's not like, let's say, for example, you know, you're starting your business. When you go out and talk to your customers, they're not going to be there to tell your customer that this isn't going to work. Yeah. the only person that their voice is impacting is you. And they've said that one thing however long ago, and it's still impacting you right now. So you need to find a way to let those words fall to the ground and prove them wrong. Like, sometimes people just don't know. And it's not in a mean, bad mind way. It's like, sometimes people just don't know. They just don't see the things that you see. You know, they don't have perfect vision. So take joy in doing the things that you're meant to be doing, doing the work. Yeah, and you'll prove them wrong over time. And they'll be the same people that'll come to you and go, oh, I knew you could do it. And he'll be like, what? You?
I'm telling you.
It's always the way.
No, I love always that. The way. I really love that. I love that. I love that. And you know what? It's funny because I too am a competitive kind of person. You know, maybe it's one of the reasons why we're going so well.
Yeah.
So I definitely dig a lot of that first option. But, to add to what you said, I think one of the things that has helped me in life is being able to identify that things like this, they're not just things, they're actually strongholds. And
you went there.
I've just done a quick Google search. There's loads of different definitions. Yeah, bro, it's important because this definition of stronghold defines it as a place that has been fortified so as to protect it against attack. Which can sound a bit weird, right? If we're talking about this being a stronghold, how is it something that's been fortified to protect me against attack? But I think one of the ways you can kind of switch it and understand it from that definition is that we have certain ideas and things that we believe that have been reinforced and will stop us from doing certain things which otherwise we might perceive as dangerous or might lead to adverse outcomes and stuff like that. So it creates almost like a safety within the idea that, okay, so-and-so said that I can't do it, right? This long list of people said that I'm not able. So I become safe within that space of not stepping out as a result of that being built up as like a fortitude that stops me from going over. Do you get what I'm saying?
That's really good.
And I think it's important to see it that way as well, because the scriptures speak about how, what's the verse? Let me pull it up.
Can you send me that message as well? Because there was something in it that I wanted to come back to, and I don't want to make you read it all again. So can you send me the message as well?
Yeah, no problem. I'll send it to you in a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Yeah. I believe it's that one.
Yeah.
From verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to do what? Destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Here's the thing. Identifying these things as strongholds is important because the word of God teaches us that part of our strength and our weapons have the power to demolish these things, right? We don't overcome them just by, you know, thinking that they're things that can just sit there, right? And this is the interesting thing about what you described, right? Because you spoke about the importance of finding what does the scripture say. That's how we destroy strongholds, because we're using the truth to destroy the lies, right? Or to destroy the distractions or the things that are pulling us away from faith. And I think I can think of, like, there was a year, especially on this health and fitness journey in particular. I remember there was a year, it was 2 years ago, I think it was, right? Where I'd basically spent some time fasting and all of that kind of stuff. And I just came to the conclusion that, no, this thing is more than just physical, bro. Like, I made a decision within my mind and I said, this is a spiritual thing. And in the same way that I trust the God that fights my battles in other areas, I'm going to trust in him in this area. And since then, I promise you, like, the first thing I started to do after I realized that was I started to put up sticky notes of scriptures that would just remind me of the truth, right? The fact that he is the God that fights my battles. The things that would remind me that whenever I saw them walking around the house, it annoyed my wife because she likes things a certain way and stuff, but it was what it was, right? I was dealing with spiritual things. But, like, for me, it was such an important stage of this journey. And I know it was actually quite pivotal because even since then, I can see how over the years, there have been subtle shifts and things that have been built up in practices that I've never ever delivered on consistently in that same way in previous times in my life, right? And that all started with recognizing that there is a stronghold and there is something that we need to now be proactive with according to the word of God in order to overcome it and to destroy it.
One thing I find really interesting is that as Christians, strongholds are always a negative thing. Yeah. I bind every stronghold. I break every stronghold. What we sometimes don't think about is that even in that description that you read, a stronghold is actually a good thing. Yeah. It's a fortified place that's protected against attack. Think about this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. That's a stronghold, bro. That's a stronghold. So it's not just about tearing down the enemy strongholds. It's about building up the strongholds of the word. So even what you said about, I placed my post-it notes bit by bit. Those are building up strongholds that fortify us and protect us from attack. It's so important that we have the right strongholds, because the devil doesn't actually create things. He perverts things from what were. So just like we're meant to worship God, he wants worship. Just like there are altars to God, the devil has created altars to himself. Just like we're meant to have strongholds in the God way, the devil is making strongholds that destroy us. So we need to recognize it's not always just destroying the stronghold. It's building up something better in its place, building up the right thing in its place.
Come on. Come on. And that's critical, bro. And I think it's so good that you've pointed that out, because sometimes we make the mistake of spending so much time just trying to like replace the thoughts to delete and ignore them. To remove them, right? But we don't think about what we're actually going to put there in instead. And I think one of the most, it's such a gift from God that we have the hope that we don't have to live in those realities, right? We can actually, in a sense, create a new reality by choosing to walk by faith and believe in what he said rather than what people have said, right? And on top of stronghold, there's another verse in Proverbs that speaks about how the fear of man brings a snare. And I think it's important to even see that something like this, a lot of the time, traces back to the fear of man as well, because it's such a concern for what man has said about me, right? That it has the power to prevent me from being able to act in the way that I otherwise would have acted, right? And maybe because we've believed those things rather than believing the truth about what God said. Slide this one in real quick, bro. The other thing is, maybe what they said is true. Like, to a degree, maybe there is truth to what they've said. Maybe when they said to you that you can't do these things, maybe they're right. But we still have the advantage, because if God be for me, who can be against me?
And bro, that it's not a final word.
We serve a God.
Not a final word.
And this is my point.
Yeah.
We serve a God who is more than capable. If he can raise the dead to life, do you think he can't birth in me the seeds and the wisdom that will develop a skill that I never had? Because I've lived that, and I'm sure you've lived that too as well, bro. Right? How many times have you sat in front of a problem that has bamboozled you? Bro, I'm fresh out of one, right? I was talking to you about it the other day. Some of these problems I've been dealing with, right? Which, when I first met them, I was bamboozled. I had no idea. I did not have the intellectual solution that would get me the answers that I needed. I didn't have it, right? But we fall on our face and we appeal to the God who is our Father, that we can call out to in our weakness for his strength to be made perfect, right? And then all of a sudden, you start to see the miraculous encountering our very natural world. And we don't appeal to that as much as we should. That's one of the things I honestly believe. But go ahead, bro, I'm done.
I couldn't agree more. And here is why. Let's even take it out of the faith sphere. We see non-Christians, tapping into the power of, I can do it. Tapping into the power of positive thinking. Tapping into the power of positive confessions and discipline and doing the things. How much more us as Christians who have God. So one of the things that really kind of stood out to me was in that message, it says, it's how to be more resilient and to believe in myself and also my business more. And I question, if you can't believe in yourself, how about you believe in God for now? Yeah, because I'm a firm believer that, look, as you build up evidence of things that you've done before and competency, like, it's easier to believe in yourself. But okay, let's say you've not done anything. And this is where I agree with you. What if what they say is actually true? Okay, it's true. I can't do it, but God can help me to do it. That's okay. And bro, there are so many situations, and I know you've had the same, where I'm in scenarios, I'm like, bro, I don't even know how I'm in this situation, yeah? God, you are doing something. So you need to come through right now, because I'm not good enough for this situation.
That's it.
I'm not.
For your namesake.
You know?
For your namesake. You see that in the scriptures too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You literally see that in the scriptures. Times where people literally are like, your name is on this.
Yeah.
Don't embarrass me. Like, don't embarrass. No, not even don't embarrass
yourself. Yeah.
I'm representing you.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. 100%. And so for me, it's like, sometimes we are too focused on us and what we can and can't do. And this has to be really well balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not to say because we have God, we do nothing. No, like, do your part, right? What it sounds like in this message is that there have been maybe a pattern or a few times where someone has just tried to do something and they failed. So where they said about, you know, my own disappointments and I feel stuck. That means that, okay, we can't keep doing the same things we were doing before. We need to do something different. We need to move differently. And and I was just talking to someone, and they were talking about failing forward and about how their training is as a scientist. Yeah. And in science, experiments are what you're paid to do. You're not paid to be successful. You're just paid to experiment. And if you switch that mindset from, okay, let's say, for example, I want to put myself out there. Yeah. Me putting myself out there is an experiment, right? So I'm doing some volunteering and the organization is trying to sell tickets to an event. Yeah. So I'm calling churches to try and talk to them and offer them tickets. Bro, it's an experiment. If they reject it, it's cool, bro. I had one funny conversation today and it felt a little bit like rejection, but it was an experiment. Do you know what I mean? It's okay. Like, she knows my name. She got my, it's okay. Did I get my objective done? My objective is to experiment. Yeah. That's all it is.
This is now, we're really giving the practical parts, bro, because from what you just said there, I said it and I wrote it down and wrote a bit more as well. But the power of experimentation and iterations. Because this is the thing about experimentation, right?
Yeah.
Like you and I have both experienced, and you know as well firsthand, bro. It's like you run the experiment, you see the outcome, you're like, that didn't go exactly to plan. You take the time to pull back and really put that thing on the analysis block.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were the variables that I could maybe tweak to see what would the outcome be if I did that slightly different, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so interesting because now let's talk about trading, right? The thing that I dropped out of uni for, which didn't work out for me, but I learned so many things and it helped me and it's helped me a lot in life, right? And you got trading experience too, so you'll get it. When you're placing, like, you don't have, you, the most successful traders don't have 100% hit rate.
No.
Right?
No.
A lot of the successful traders have a very good risk to reward ratio.
Yeah.
I.e., they bake in their strategy and their risk management strategy room for enough errors and enough failed trades that even if they got four trades wrong, as long as they get one out of five,
good,
it covers all the losses and some, right? And that and some progressively keeps on accumulating over time and compounding to result in things that, like, another example the other day, someone was talking about a great example, Michael Jordan, I think it was. Maybe even Kobe as a more modern one, right? But I remember there was an MJ advert when I used to love basketball in school and stuff. There was an MJ advert where he speaks about his stats. He says, I've lost so many games. I've this many times I've taken the winning shot and I've missed, right? And I think he finishes with something like, and this is what it takes to be successful, something like that. Someone was speaking about that. And they were pointing out how even if you look at the stats on paper, you can think, right, if I took those stats into so many other scenarios, I'd be like, what was going on? But people don't talk about the losses.
No.
Right?
No.
And those losses, in the same way we were talking about risk to reward, are far outweighed by the wins. So I think experimentation is important, like you said, and being willing to not just experiment, not be happy with the outcome, but to go a step further and say, okay, that didn't go the way I wanted it. What can I do to tweak it? What are the adjustments? And one more thing I was going to add as well, Bishop Hormozy has got an interesting thing that I've heard him speak about.
Yeah.
He's got an interesting thing that he's spoken about where he speaks about the importance of building an undeniable stack of proof.
Yes. Come on.
And I love the concept because there are times where we may not believe that we are capable of certain things or that we're good at certain things or that if we went into a certain like avenue, we would be successful. But sometimes it's about taking a step back and actually reviewing your life and seeing time after time after time. Let's use our language. Testimony after testimony after testimony. And I think this is where we add the spiritual dynamic that Bishop Hormozy might not, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not just looking at the successes of us and the things that we've done. Because those are great things and they can be included within it. But as spiritual people who are children of the Most High, what we will do is we'll connect those things with God, right? And we will know that that undeniable stack of proof really at its root is an undeniable stack of proof of how he has been consistent, whether it's in our own lives or in seeing the lives of others who have gone before us. But yeah, go ahead, bro.
I couldn't agree. Like, I honestly, bro, like, I was just thinking about this. If you don't quit, you win. Yeah? Keep moving.
Yeah.
Keep moving. Yeah. That's all you've got to do is keep up moving. Keep moving. And there is nobody on this planet that has been perfect apart from Jesus. Every basketball player has missed a shot. Yeah? Every fighter has been hit, knocked down, sometimes knocked out. Like, everybody, even Floyd Mayweather lost at some point in his life. He's only not lost professional fights. He's lost before. Everybody loses. It's about, do you get yourself up? Do you keep moving? And even there's a verse about, you know, the righteous man who falls down seven times. You know, it's about always getting back up. You're going to fall, and that's okay.
I love
you
that.
Know
yeah
it's okay yeah. It's all about, do I get up and keep moving? And bro, if it's not, unless you're dead, yeah, it's not finished. You could go out tomorrow and absolutely smash
it. Still time on the clock,
still time on the clock, bro. Take that shot. I loved doing this, and we should do this more often. What I would also say is I would be more than happy to have a conversation with whoever sent that in and just to talk through some of this stuff and build a bit of a practical action plan. Because sometimes all you need is that spark of someone sit with you and say, hey, this is what we're going to do about it. This is how we move forward. So I'd be more than happy to do that.
I love that.
Thank you so much for sending in that question. And thank you guys for listening. And we'll catch you on the next episode. Peace.
Peace.